This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It is the day the economy has been waiting for. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. The Federal Reserve is set to announce its latest move on interest rates later today. Most analysts expect it to raise rates another 0.75 percentage point. In plain English, that means the Fed is still trying to slow U.S. economic growth as a way to control inflation. Inflation in the U.S. was last clocked at more than 8% a year. But what the Fed does to manage the U.S. economy has a global reach. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
The whole world is trying to cope with high inflation. But when it comes to fighting rising prices, the U.S. Fed's rate hikes have an outsized impact, says Jay Hatfield at Infrastructure Capital Advisors.
The Fed is really the one driving the bus, and then the other countries are forced to follow.
Higher U.S. interest rates attract global investments and drive up the value of the dollar. That helps the U.S., but weakens other economies, making everything from debt repayment to imports more expensive.
We're forecasting the U.S. stays out of a major recession, but the rest of the world, except China, does go into a significant recession.
Poor countries will suffer the most, says Adam Posen at the Peterson Institute for International Economics.
Particularly developing countries with foreign currency debt are in trouble in large parts of Central Asia, Sub-Saharan Africa, Central America.
The global poor are hit especially hard by food and energy inflation because those commodities are priced in dollars on the world market. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
CEOs of the country's largest banks, including J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, and Bank of America, are headed to Capitol Hill today and tomorrow to testify. Ahead of the hearings, Democratic lawmakers have focused on overdraft fees and consumer complaints. One of the issues here will be who should be liable over bank fraud when it happens over instant payment, like Zelle. So when there's a scam where money is sent using an instant payment, should banks be on the hook to cover that, or is it on the individual who was scammed? We'll bring you more on these hearings tomorrow. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.7%. Dow and S&P futures are up 0.2%, with the Dow future up 62 points. NASDAQ futures are flat. 10-year Treasury yield is at 3.546%. The Department of Justice's landmark antitrust case against Google has started to heat up. The trial itself won't start until next year, but last week, attorneys from the DOJ and Google started to lay out their views in preliminary hearings. We wanted to understand more about what exactly Google is accused of doing, so we are joined by Charlotte Slayman, an antitrust attorney and director of competition policy at the nonprofit Public Knowledge. Good morning, Charlotte.
Good morning.
So Google has, I was just looking this up, 92% market share among search engines. But antitrust law isn't just about being big. It's about sort of conspiring to limit trade or create a monopoly. So what about Google's business practices is the Department of Justice going after?
Yes, they are particularly concerned about exclusive contracts. And the exclusive contracts are for being the default search engine on mobile devices, certain browsers. Some of those agreements are actually with cell phone companies. So there's a variety of exclusive agreements for Google to be the default search engine. And that has foreclosed competitors from offering their products instead.
So I'm thinking about this and I'm trying to figure out, I guess is what a court is going to figure out, is that wrong? Is that unreasonable as a business practice?
Yeah, so I think it is. It's important to understand a little bit about how search engines compete with each other, or really are not competing, is what we're seeing today. But the data that a search engine gets from each search that happens each day is really important for making the search engine effective. So being able to purchase customers through these default contracts is a really important way for a new search engine to get started and become more and more effective. So Google has been able to prevent competitors from getting the kind of market share they would need to build a really strong search engine, because they're not able to get that information about what the right results are.
Now, Google, one of Google's attorneys was saying that regulators are misunderstanding the market, that we shouldn't be comparing Google to Bing and Yahoo. We should be comparing Google to Amazon and almost the entirety of the internet, because you can buy things or look for things not just using Google. How compelling do you think that argument will be?
Well, you have to say something like that. If you have 92% of the search market, all that's left is to argue that that's not the right market. So I can see why they're arguing that. Certainly, there's an extent to which for some users and for some queries, there are multiple options. A lot of shopping queries do begin on Amazon and not on Google. But the search engine, the general search engine, where you can type in any kind of question and expect to get an answer, really is a different kind of product than a specialized search engine.
In traditional antitrust cases, there's usually a requirement to show some harm to the consumer. Is that demonstrable in this case?
One of the hardest types of harm to show is a harm to innovation. But I also think that's one of the most important harms that we really need to be paying close attention to and investing a lot of our antitrust energy into protecting innovation. But it is hard to show quantifiably what types of innovations we are missing out on today because we didn't have strong competition in general search all this time.
Charlotte Slayman is an antitrust attorney and director of competition policy at the nonprofit Public Knowledge. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.